one of our SEN footy team. Terry Wallace is on the line. Morning, Plough.
Good morning, Kev. How are you going?
Going, well, no, I'm not going well, obviously, because the Doggies lost last night to Fremantle by 16 points. So far this weekend, as we have a look back, Collingwood by a point, Richmond by 11, Geelong by 29, GWS by 42, Frio by 16, and Adelaide by 17. But I guess the injury toll is always the big concern. Is Max Gorn one of the big outs of the next 4 weeks for you, Plough?
Well, he is, because there are some players in teams that are virtually irreplaceable, and he's that, in my opinion, for Melbourne. He's just such a dominant force in the way that they want to play their football. And look, in the end, they ended up missing him, although, you know, I think Jack Watts did a pretty admirable job sort of filling in for a period of time. But you know, it eventually gets to you, and it'll be something that Melbourne will have to really work on over the next few weeks if they want to stay super competitive.
Let's have a look at that game. What did you make of Geelong? They've sort of become the comeback kings, aren't they?
Well, they have a bit. It's 2 weeks in a row, and it's sort of on the back of their star players a couple of times as well. It's just the typical thing, isn't it? And we this time last week we were talking about it as well. You can kick yourself out of games. Last week we were talking about St Kilda and their opportunities lost. Well, it was opportunity lost for Melbourne this weekend. When you're sitting there at three-quarter time, you've had 29 scoring shots to your opposition 16. Yeah, the game should be in your keeping by that stage, but it just wasn't to be. Geelong made the running early, and then Melbourne just completely controlled the game. Sort of from, really that second and third quarter, it was a total domination from the Demons, but they just couldn't put it on the scoreboard. And the flip side of that is every time Geelong went forward, they actually kicked their goals. I think at one stage they kicked 14 on the run without a miss. So a really strange game, and strange how it was played sort of both sides. And in the end, it was just 6-1 last quarter. And Dangerfield, Selwood, Dangerfield, 36 possessions and 3 goals. Anyone who saw his left foot goal in that last quarter, it was absolutely sensational, bursting out of a pack and just drove the ball forward. Dangerfield and Selwood just willed themselves onto the contest. Probably too simple to say 73 possessions by them, and then Hawkins and Menzel, 9 goals. There's your result. But it was a bit that way. Was the way that the game sort of played out. I'm really pleased for Menzel, because he had another little injury scare in yesterday's game, where all of a sudden you thought, oh, don't tell me, he might have hurt that knee again, but all was okay. I think they've found a player, the Cats in Young Puff. I think he looks a really nice player for Geelong, and he's going to be a player of the future for them. But, all you can keep doing is winning, and Geelong are finding a way to do that. If I make a summary of the game, and as much as what the two boys will dislike it. Suspensions cost Melbourne a game. Suspensions and the Max Gorn injury was the difference between them getting up and not getting up. I just sense that if those two blokes play and they have this much control as what they had in the second and third quarter, they probably put it on the scoreboard a bit more. So, very, very tough, but that's the way that the game is.
Oh, no, that's the reality of it. Are you concerned if you were coaching the Geelong Footy Club, would you be concerned that too much of your footy plan and your entire game plan revolves around two blokes?
Yeah, I would be, but I'm pretty happy with the two that I've got.
Thank you.
Certainly you want more consistency. And, that wasn't being completely fair, because I thought that was Mark Blitzer's best game that he's played for quite some time. So there were certainly a lot of other contributors. Duncan was pretty good again. So backline held up reasonable, although they should have had a higher score against them. So there's still some work. I think that most people sort of see that Geelong's still a work in progress, and that they need to get a more even spread. But certainly those two guys, they're just fantastic warriors. And in both games, when it's needed to be won, that's the way you sort of say comeback kings. But it's been just the will and the willpower of those two guys to lift themselves.
Yeah. Richmond, are you excited by how they're looking?
I was excited before the start of the season, just because it looked different. And straight away, I didn't know what we were going to get from them and whether that was going to be good enough to hold up. But Yeah, if you keep going in with the same thing, you're probably going to get the same result. And Richmond this time around, one through bringing players in. Obviously, they went and got Prestia and Caddy and Mancurvis coming into the lineup as well. But it was also giving opportunity to those young guys down forward. And, gee, they haven't let them down. Butler and Rioli, Castagna. So it just had a different look about going into a new season. And it's paid dividends for them. You know, they're playing with a lot of verve and spark about the way that they play. Those three boys that I just spoke about, you know, Butler and Rioli, kick a couple each. They were terrific. And you know, another game that could have been different at halftime, you know, 5-13 to 5-6 at halftime when it was dry. West Coast just looked like they were a bit sharper and might have been able to get a result. But it's this Tigers side. I mean, this is the third week in a row that they've run over the top of sides as well. So, you know, game reasonably balanced sort of half-time or into the third quarter. And they're just their will to win and their will to put a presence on the game was absolutely tremendous. And, look, they were led magnificently well. Dustin Martin was just completely dominant. He must have 7 or 8 Brownlow votes already. I mean, I know, you know, Dangerfield's doing the same for the Cats, but certainly Martin, he was just a superstar. He had 15 clearances yesterday. At one stage, he had more clearances than the West Coast Eagles' entire team. So he's playing brilliant footy. Cochin was outstanding again. I thought Rance's second half was super. And then they've really found a role now for Conker in the back pocket. He's really settled down. He's playing. I thought he was in the best 3 or 4 players on the ground. Thank goodness there is still a spot, Kevin, for a tagger in football. Sam Mitchell's out of control in the first quarter. He was the dominant player on the ground. He was just setting everything up for the West Coast Eagles, and they sent Kane Lambert to him and just took him out of the game. And yeah, it was a move to show that it can still be done in AFL footy, and I don't know why more sides just don't put a little bit of time and effort into just exactly that.
Yep. West Coast still got the road problems?
Yeah, 2 issues. They didn't handle the wet conditions at all. Yep. You know, they had blokes, McGovern, it was coming down sideways, and McGovern runs out of the back line in the last quarter and tries to bounce the footy. That's not happening in Victoria. It might happen over in WA, but it's not happening here. They kept trying to hand pass their way out of trouble in you know, wet, horrendous conditions where the Tigers just played smarter, just went for meterage, you know, just whack the ball down the line, have another contest, go again. And, yeah, so they handled the conditions a lot better. But you just look at the MCG record of the West Coast Eagles and say, can you trust them until they can get that right?
Yeah. GWS, fairly emphatic win over North Melbourne.
Pretty predictable. Yeah, pretty predictable when you go through it all. And, you know, North were plucky early. The GWS just got the grind going then. When you sort of break it down, you know, 34 shots to 17, they really had fairly much control of the game of footy after that initial sort of start by North Melbourne. I think Josh Kelly was a story there, just you know, the fact that there's been so much talk around him. The kid comes out playing against the side that all the talk's been there for. a young, inexperienced kid, and he still is a kid. You know, you could expect that might be a little overwhelming, but you know, 31 possessions at a goal, he was as good as anyone out there yesterday. So he sort of really stood out. I thought Toby Green just continues to show why the All-Australian selectors picked him in that side. I reckon there's one little story coming out of this game with GWS, and it wasn't really out of the game. It's out of selection. The fact that, and it might have been because they were going down to Tassie, but they've decided the GWS to only go with the two big boys, Jeremy Cameron and Rory Lobb, which left Jono Patton as an emergency.
Yep.
Now, I know he signed a contract to stay up there, but if he's not playing regular senior footy, there's going to be sides come after him. So it'll be interesting, number one, to see whether they do go the 3 tall big men in the side or whether they go only the 2 and you know what consequences that has from the point of view of if it is Jono Patton, you know, where does he play his footy? Does he stay there and not get a game and just fight his way through or if you look elsewhere. So that may be a little bit of a story. From a North Melbourne point of view, I thought young, well, Pruce, the ruckman, you know, did a really good job again. He's going well. I'm really concerned and worried about Andrew Swallow and where his footy's at the moment. You know, I saw him last week playing on a wing, which is not really a natural role for him. I thought he really battled again yesterday. And, yeah, so I'm sort of watching his footy with a little bit of interest at the moment. But, look, North are a fair bit off the pace when we're talking about the best sides in the competition. They work and they're pretty honest, but, yeah, a fair way off the pace.
Hey, just on the pattern thing, if you were coach, is there room for the three tools in that side?
I think there is, personally. But most sides in the competition are only going with two. So my opinion on it is if you've got three that are that good, I'd play the three that are that good. So it's a bit of a watch this space.
Yep. Two games last night, both less than three goals in it in the end. The showdown, Adelaide, just a bit too good for Port Adelaide in the end?
Yeah. Look, it was a really entertaining game. And, I thought probably Tex Walker's four-goal performance, yeah, we talk about big goals and big moments. In the last quarter, kicked a ripping 65-metre goal and one step around his body. He was really good. Sloane led the way. He's just tough and uncompromising the way he goes about it. Eddie betsed him, but Eddie did it a few times for some brilliance, but just a bit more even. And that's what really come down to. A couple of Tex and Sloane, superior roles, but then it was just a little bit more evenness all over the ground. And the reality was that Port Adelaide came at him a couple of times. I mean, Port Adelaide set the scene early. It was a big Port Adelaide home crowd in at Adelaide Oval. So, I mean, all the sort of the noise was going their way. They jumped Adelaide early in the game. Adelaide were able to get that back, get the game played back on their terms. And then Port Adelaide come at them again late. And then they were able to sort of, balance that off and come again when you know that the crowd's sort of against you. I thought it was a pretty good effort. I've got Adelaide right up there as, one of the absolute best sides, probably them and GWS. As the best two sides in the competition as we speak. We know there's a long marathon journey that we're on, but they're playing good footy. And if you have a look at, they've played now GWS, they've played Hawthorn at the G, which, West Coast, we just spoke about them not being able to get the job done at the G. And then they've had Power in a showdown that was with all Power's crowd in and Power playing pretty good footy. You have a look at their next 7 weeks. They've got some pretty soft games coming up. And, I think that they'll turn probably 9-1.
Wow.
By the time we get to 10 rounds, and that sets you up. So, to me, they're going to be there when the whips are cracking later in the season. There's no doubt about that. Port didn't certainly upset their fans or upset me. I thought it was a pretty solid showing from them. They're just a marginal level behind where the other mob are at the moment. So, to me, one is a very much a top four side, and one is one of those sides vying for a top eight position.
Reigning premiers took on Freo in Freo last night. They went down by 16 points. Did you see anything in the Fremantle performance that makes you think they won't be as bad a side as they were last year?
I did. And I was really worried about Fremantle. Not that many people over this side of the country are that worried about Fremantle, but I was a bit worried about them going into the game. I just, the first couple of weeks, I thought they were on the nose a little bit. They went in very, very young last night, but the very young worked. So they kept their best of their best players out in the park. And, you call that the two Hill boys who had, 58 possessions combined, obviously five. And they're senior players that have got them through to grand finals, but they took out a whole layer of blokes that just weren't getting the job done. And most of those blokes weren't getting the job done last year. You're talking about Griffin and Subin and the likes of those.
Yep.
Took them out, put kids in. The kids had a real go. Not that the kids were sort of dominant, but they chased, they harassed, they played with, a lot more zest. A bit similar to what we're talking about with the young blokes that have been put in at Richmond. They just played with a lot more zest. And that combined with the good players that Fremantle had and combined with that home ground that they do have over there, it was a changed look. It really was a changed look. And as I said, I thought they were on the nose a week ago. And, they just got the job done. This game was won in the first and the last quarters. When you have a look at it, it was 9 goals to 1 in those two quarters. So, early Freo jumped them. Bulldogs, I was disappointed with that, with the Doggies. I'll go into them a little bit in a second, but disappointed that with the Doggies, just with what happened to them over there last year in that last round. I would have thought that they'd flopped, be ready for a Fremantle onslaught, but they weren't. And then, obviously, they finished, you know, the 5-1 in the last quarter. They just weren't going to work their way back from that. I reckon the Doggies are just going. And Kev, you follow them, so you probably look at it more closely. I like to look right across the range of games as we sort of speak, but I thought they just fell over the line against Collingwood. We look at the Sydney game now, and it was a ripping game, the Sydney game, but Swans aren't flying, and they've got a lot of kids playing. And, it was a battle at home, and it's a home game for the Doggies, and then to go over and be beaten by Fremantle, who won't play finals, in my opinion. They're just chugging along at the moment, the Bulldogs. But the fact is, they're on 2 wins, and that sort of keeps them in relative position. But they've got a fair bit of improvement. I'm still worried about their back line, with Morris out as the one who's the organiser down that end of the ground. They've got some players, key defensive players, that I still have concerns when you get up against the better sides in the competition. So, they're the reigning premiers, but they've still got some work to do.
Yeah, I think that back line is Marcus Adams there last night. Had a couple of brain fades. I don't quite know what he was thinking. He almost had a Gubby Allen couple of moments there.
Yes.
Last night, which I just scratched my head thinking, why did he do that? But anyway, I agree with you. They are just going at the moment. I think that that late start to their pre-season is showing.
I agree with that. And, the balance of the side, they've had a few come in, few come out of those premiership boys. There's no Dunkley there at the moment. There's no Clay Smith. And from what I'm hearing from a match committee point of view and people who watch the VFL pretty closely, he's just been going. So he hasn't actually earned his way into the side. It's nothing from a discipline point of view. Or that. So they've got a couple of guys who are really good at the end of last year and are just not playing with that same sort of level of intensity at the moment. So, a little bit of work to do, but as we said, it's a long journey and you're still sitting 2-1. So, the position is okay, but they've just got to get their skates on.
Now, the risk, I don't want to get lynched, so I'll mention the Collingwood 1-point win over the Swans. So as we make sure we cover that one off, Flower, interesting, entertaining game to watch.
I thought it was a beauty and a really good game, and one that certainly could have been lost by Collingwood. Again, they set it up in the first quarter. I can't remember going 23-2 inside 50s early in that match. Some of the numbers, they had 44 marks to 16. They played a real keepings off sort of game, 147 disposals to 85. It just completely controlled the game early. And then the main thing that I think everyone came out of the game sort of saying is, if they play with that intensity from a tackle point of view, the second highest ever from a Collingwood team, well, you're going to win more games. And we heard from people, I heard Taylor Adams on Crunch Time sort of saying there was a real emphasis put on that. People would ask why is there an emphasis put on every week, but horses for courses and different things happen. And you say you do, but some weeks it's just, we've got to get this right this week sort of thing. So look, they played a good brand of footy. Sydney came at them, and it looked like at one stage Sydney was going to go past them, but they were able to find a way to win. And I thought it was a good result, because when you make the way early in the game and really put your stamp on it, normally that side ends up getting up and winning and finds a way to win. Sydney made all sort of the running to come back into the game, but Collingwood did the hard work, went up there on a mission, set their mission early, and got the result. And I thought it was terrific, and good on Nathan Buckley, who had the pressure on him, good on Pies fans who, have been under the pump, but let's face it, I mean, people have been coming at the footy club over the last few weeks. Well, that just staves that off for a little bit. They've got some really interesting games coming up over the next few weeks. I mean, they got belted by St Kilda in a game at the MCG last year, which really sort of started to set the rot for the Maggies. And then Anzac Day just looks like being a ripper this year. So some really interesting games for the Magpies coming up.
Terry Wallace, your winners for today. St Kilda take on the Brisbane Lions.
I think St Kilda just get the job done. They threw away a game last week. They cannot afford to lose this one. So I think they just get the job done today.
Carlton and Essendon.
Well, it depends whether we're going to be underwater at the MCG or not.
Well, don't take the car. The car park's closed.
Correct, yeah. Looking outside, I'm not sure what we're going to get. anything like second half yesterday. Look, I think Essendon will win, but they do play a running, neat, sort of almost, not an outside game, but a top-of-the-ground game. So Carlton were really plucky last week against and well organised against Melbourne. So I don't, don't think that Carlton aren't in with a chance, but I've got to go Essendon.
And Gold Coast, a.k.a. Gary Ablett, take on the Hawks.
Concerning game for Hawthorn. I'm picking Hawks, but, up there with all the pressure that's on the Gold Coast, they are better than what they sort of showed last week, and it's a difficult ground to win at. I just think the experience of the Hawks probably get a result for them, but I'd be nervous. If I'm travelling up there, I'd be nervous.
Well, jump in the kayak and head to the MCG. That'd be the way to go today, I would have thought.
Well, I'm going to off to Channel 9 for Future Stars first, so if anyone wants to have a look and sort of see where the young stars for the next generation are coming from, have a look at that before you go to the footy.
All right. Good on you. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Terry.
Terry Wallace there, the plough.